Now, as we were discussing with the Taoiseach earlier, the EU has agreed to postpone Brexit from next Friday in a bid to give the UK Prime Minister Theresa May more time to get her deal approved by Parliament. In a moment, we'll discuss what might happen next. But first, here's a quick reminder of some of the events of this week.
What the government cannot legitimately do is to resubmit to the House the same proposition as that of last week, which was rejected by 149 votes.
So far, Parliament has done everything possible to avoid making a choice. Motion after motion and amendment after amendment has been tabled without Parliament ever deciding what it wants.
The problem is all inside your head, she said to me. The answer is easy if you take it logically. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover.
There's a lot of political instability in London at the moment, as people can see, and there is a real risk that we wish to avoid of no deal happening by accident, despite people's best intentions. So I think it's time now to cut them some slack.
During the discussion among the EU27, the leaders approach this request in a positive spirit.
You just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself free.
I hope we can all agree we are now at the moment of decision. And I will make every effort to ensure that we are able to leave with a deal.
President Tusk, you said a while ago that there was a special place in hell for those who promoted Brexit without a plan. Well, if British MPs don't vote for it next week, do you think that special place in hell should be enlarged to include more members of the House of Commons?
According to our Pope, the hell is still empty, you know, and it means that a lot of space as well.
I think this is the right moment to conclude the press conference. Thank you very much.
That was a press conference of EU Council President Donald Tusk, ending those sounds from the week compiled by Justin. To help us make sense of the week ahead, if we can, we're joined by Dr. Simon Usherwood, Deputy Director of the academic think tank The UK and a Change in Europe, and also reader in politics at the University of Surrey. Simon, thanks for taking our call. It is very difficult to foresee what's going to happen, but let's start with meaningful vote three. What are the chances of Theresa May actually putting her deal to Parliament again and actually getting it passed this week?
Well, I think both of those things look really uncertain at this point. You know, all this weekend, a lot of talk here in the UK about the cabinet being really unhappy with Theresa May, her premiership, maybe trying to find ways to remove her. And in all of that, whether she actually has the capacity to bring a vote to Parliament, I think looks really limited. Even before we get to the question of whether it would pass, which I think still looks highly debatable at this stage, given that we haven't really changed any of the fundamental problems that the different opponents of that deal have had so far.
And her speech on Wednesday, in which she attacked MPs for failing to agree on any path forward, that seems to have annoyed enough of them that some of them have actually switched their vote away from Theresa May.
Totally. It is like a bucket of cold sick being poured over Parliament. You know, if for somebody who is going to be relying on MPs to help get this deal across the line, to tell them that they've been wasting time, they've been obstructing the process after so many days of number 10 being really very unhelpful in this, I think went down very badly indeed and has contributed a lot to where we are right now, which is a Conservative Party that's really not sure that Theresa May is any longer the kind of presentable face of the party in government.
But by the same token, a new Prime Minister isn't going to change the arithmetic in the Commons. It's not going to change the difficulty of finding that alternative around which people can coalesce.
Yeah, and I think that's been what has helped Theresa May hold on as long as possible, is that whoever takes over has exactly the same problems, the same lack of a government majority. And, you know, we know that the EU doesn't want to renegotiate either the backstop or the withdrawal agreement more generally. So how do you get this across the line? And I think one of the real problems here is that there hasn't really been enough of a reckoning around what the different options that British MPs face might be. And, you know, anyone who wants to leave with a deal basically is going to have to sign up to this withdrawal agreement. But I think for a lot of people, they think that there are other options out there.
Yeah, there's this talk about indicative votes in the House of Commons. But then this morning you had Steve Barclay, the Brexit secretary, saying that the government wouldn't be bound by an indicative vote. So, you know, does even if there were indicative votes, even if there was an agreement on some alternative, the government doesn't necessarily agree to follow it.
Exactly. And this is one of the real challenges of the British system, is that the government essentially controls the agenda of Parliament. So even if Parliament says you should go and do this, it can't actually force the government to bring forward bits of legislation or to make changes that are necessary. So there is a real blockage here, and there's not a lot of time. You know, even with the extension that we got agreed on Thursday at the European Council, there is not a clear path forward within Westminster, let alone one that then might be acceptable to the EU.
And of course, the point is, while very few people want a no-deal Brexit, that doesn't mean it couldn't happen, because there needs to be agreement on the alternative, which, as you just said, is very difficult. If there isn't that agreement, crash out on the 12th of April.
Totally. And I think that that's something that still hasn't completely sunk in. And maybe one of the difficulties here is that because of the way the debate's gone in the UK, I think there are a lot of MPs, maybe a lot of people generally, who think that no deal is actually not that bad, that, you know, we'll work something out in the end, you know, we'll get some agreements on the critical stuff, and then we'll kiss and make up in some kind of way, without really appreciating the depth of the disruption that a no deal would mean. So it's not just the kind of the objective realities of situations. It's very much how all of the MPs at the moment subjectively view things. You know, that they're in their mind's eye, they think that they have choices which may not actually exist.
It's a big march in London yesterday. There's been the traditional arguments about the size of the crowd, but there was a relatively big turnout. There was 4 million signatures to an online petition to reverse course on Brexit. Is that message going to get through to politicians, do you think?
Well, I think certainly as a show of strength of feeling, it is quite marked. You know, compare it to this march that's coming down from the north of England over the past couple of weeks, which numbers maybe 100 or so people at the moment, people wanting a Brexit to take place. So the contrast, I think, is very clear. However, talking about not leaving, talking about a second referendum in Westminster remains a bit of a minority pursuit. I think both the Tories and the Labour Party are really concerned that maybe a second referendum is just going to cause many more problems for them than it solves. You know, what option are they campaigning for would be the obvious first problem. But I think at the moment, Parliament is now getting to a place where a lot of things that might have seemed unimaginable just a few days ago might be more on the cards than previously thought.
OK, Simon Osherwood, thank you very much indeed for joining us.